Thank you for tuning into a Rockville Assembly of God podcast. We hope you find this podcast uplifting, encouraging, and draws you closer to Christ. Of course, we'd love for you to visit us Sunday mornings, but if you cannot, please connect with us at rockvilleag.com.
As we're receiving this offering time, I just want to remind you, so you received a bulletin this morning that says compelled. If you look at the flags, many of these flags are either from where some of our families are from, where you are from, or maybe countries that we've been to or where we'd like to go. And so again, if you'd like to add a flag, if you don't see your home country flag or your native flag and you'd love to have one, it costs about $50 for the flag, the pole, the gear. So if you'd like to donate and help us out with that, that would be awesome. But you received in your, you received a bulletin, and there was like a little thing. As you know, we love missions. The mission of God is to know all, that all would know God. Amen? And our mission as a church is to help you know God and to make Him known. Correct? Come on, yes? And so we want to challenge you, and I'm going to call at the end. We're going to receive a missions love offering that we normally do on the first Sunday. We'll do it at the end of the service after we're done preaching and having a time of altar. But if you've not yet, I'm going to just ask you, this is if you're a church attender. This is not for you if you're just visiting us today, unless you want to give. But I'm asking if this is your home church and you've not yet filled out a Faith Promise Missions card, I'm asking you to do that. Pray about how much the Lord would lead you. You'd want to give because we love missions. We want all people to know God's love. Come on, amen? And so we as a church, the Assemblies of God is the largest Pentecostal denomination in the world. And the Assemblies of God for over hundreds of years has their focus has been making known the love of Jesus Christ here or all over the world. And so, in fact, I was talking to a missionary from Madagascar. I remember a couple years ago, and he said in Africa, there are three things that are known, but two that are really known in Africa, Coca-Cola and the Assemblies of God. That's what he told me. This missionary from Africa said, Coca-Cola, everyone knows Coca-Cola, and everyone knows the Assemblies of God in Africa. And so God is known all over the nations. And so if you want to say, you know what, I want to send, I want to pray, I want to be able to help missionaries, because it costs money for missionaries to go and to go across the globe or to go and serve where they have to serve. They do this full time. Would you take one of these if you've not yet done one and fill it out? Or if you want to change your commitment, would you do that? And if you feel led at the end of the service to put it in the offering, you can with an offering. Or if you want to go home and think about it, we'd love for you to do that. Amen? So, Paul, I'm going to forego my the missions thing because I just want to give the scripture. I want to go ahead and bring the word. But again, I want to thank you for coming today. If you have a Bible, would you take out your Bible? And if not, I believe I have the scriptures. I want to take a few minutes just because some of you are going to be shocked, but I only have 3 pages of notes for the sermon because I anticipated that we'd have a time of celebration with all the languages. But before we do that, here's what I want to do, okay? I know it's not politically correct in this day and age, and I know my kids remind me sometimes when I meet a new person and I talk to them and I can kind of sense they're not from this nation. And I'll ask them, so if you don't mind me asking, what nation are you from? I'm not supposed to do that anymore. They say it's not politically correct. But since we're in church, okay, I'm just going to, and if I forget a nation or a continent, but I'm just going to try, if I can remember, I'm going to call out a continent. I'm only going to ask you, if you're from that continent, now I mean where you could be your family, where you're born, but if you're from that continent, would you stand up? So if you were born in the North American continent, would you stand up? Just stand up. North America, that includes Mexico, United States, Canada, if you were born in the north or the island nations north, okay, so this is awesome. You may be seated. So if you're from the Central American part, if you're from Central America, would you stand? Anybody Central America? One? All right. Good. Okay, now if you're from South America, would you stand? South America? If you were born in South America? Wonderful. All right, you may be seated. Now, if you're now I'm going to try to get this right. If you're from Europe, if you were born in Europe, would you stand? Europe? All right, we got one. So, all right, anyone else? All right, now, if you're from what we would saw, if you're from this small continent south of Europe, it's called Africa. If you're from Africa, would you stand with me? It's not a small continent. If you're from Africa, would you stand? Wonderful. Thank you. You may be seated. And now, if you're from, and I know, growing up, and please, no offense if I get it wrong, but see, when I grew up, the Asians and Indians were not considered the same, but they are the same. But what I'm going to ask, for the sake of continent, is if you're from Eurasia would include Iraq, Iran, India, Nepal. If you're from that region, or Afghanistan, would you stand? If you're from Eurasia, okay, Eurasia. Well, look at that. Wonderful. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you are from Asia, including an island Asia, would you stand? If you're from Asia, would you stand? Asia, Northern Asian, Southeast Asian. Okay. Thank you. Now, the other one is Oceania. Any Australians here, right? Good day. No Australians? All right, so if you're from Oceania, and also that would include the Fiji, New Zealand. Now, if I miss your country, and if you're from an island nation or some other, if I miss you, stand up. Sounds like they're embarrassed. I'm not doing that. So thank you for that. So God loves all nations, amen? Thank you for doing that. And as you can see today, I'm going to read, I'm going to try to go kind of fast, but I'm trying to go 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Maybe you would be familiar with this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on your notes. Let me find it here. God is a God of love. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later it says the Word was made known through Jesus Christ. But in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. I love this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes. It always perseveres. And then, of course, the first part of verse 8 says, love never fails. So the Bible is very clear from the beginning of Genesis to the last book in Revelation that God is a God of love. God is love. Jesus is God in love. And so He has given us this love. I have a different couple of scriptures there. God's love transcends language. It transcends race. It transcends national borders and ethnic backgrounds. God's love is for all people. Say all people. Come on, all people. So as you see today on International Sunday, and so the love that Jesus displayed on Calvary was for all of humanity, not for just one group, not just for the Jews, He was for all people. Okay? The Bible says in John, in fact, if you want to write this down, one love on your notes, if you have notes, you keep the notes, that's fine if you want to follow this. One love, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Jacob, the God who is Jesus, wants mankind to have a relationship. God did not create us and then just say off, I hope that they do okay. God is a God of relationship. You see, in the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve. God walked and talked with Abraham, with Noah, with Paul. And even now, God can talk to us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So, excuse me, God is a God of love. Amen? And this big love, excuse me, I'm getting all choked up. This big love can give us life here and in eternity. And so this big love, this love that Jesus gave us, Jesus said this in John 11. Excuse me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? You see, this love that God is, who sent His Son Jesus so that we could have a relationship with God, is that this love, it breaks the curse of sin. Well, what is sin? Sin is wrongdoing. The Greek word for sin is hamartia. It means it's an archer missing the target. You see, the Bible says that we have all sinned. We've all sinned. And you say, well, I don't sin. I don't believe in sin. Well, if you lie, then what does that make you? A liar. So some of us, I'm not trying to, well, just call me a liar. I'm just saying we all sin. We all do wrong. And God knows that we cannot deliver ourselves, that we can try to be right, but He sent His Son Jesus to give us life. And if we believe in His Son, and we believe in this Jesus, that we can have life now and in the resurrection. And so God's love breaks the curse of sin, that we no longer live under shame and guilt anymore. And I love what Henry talked about, Romans 8:20, all things are possible. The next thing is that this love of Jesus breaks oppression. You see, the law points to us, rules, religions point to us how bad we are. Jesus points us to God and saying, I don't care how bad you were, I've given my life so you can have a relationship with God. So we're under one love. Isn't this exciting? Amen. Okay. It's exciting. This love delivers us from shame, sin, and guilt. It delivers us from having to feel bad. You see, God doesn't want you to feel bad. He wants to have a relationship with you. And that's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. The next thing about this one love that Jesus gave is that this love brings divine healing for our minds, our bodies, our hearts. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. You see, Jesus loves us. God loves us that He sent Jesus to become our sacrifice and our healing. So He can heal you. We thank God for science. We thank God for medicine. But this one love also brings healing. The next thing this one love does, this one love helps us to love others as Jesus. Are there people, now don't point fingers. Are there people in this world that are hard to love? Don't point at me. I know it's just wrong. Five hands. No, I'm just kidding. There are people in this world that are hard to love. And there are people groups that have done things to your people group that are hard, and it's hard to love and to forgive. But you see, the love of God helps us that we will love other people. We can forgive them. You see, Jesus was mocked. He was beaten. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, when he was being killed for his faith, same thing, looked over them and said, Father, forgive them. You see, this only happens in the name of Jesus. 1 John 4:7, it says this, Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. You see, God can help us with this one love. The second thing about this love of God, this Jesus, is now we are one people. We're one people. I can't read it all, but in Genesis, it talks about Genesis. I'm going to read this part. It's on your notes. Genesis 11:1, it says, Now the whole world had one language and one common speech. Then they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. In other words, the people at that time spoke one language and they had one written language and they were all together. And they were going to say, we're going to build a city, we're going to ascend basically, and we're going to become like God. We're going to make our name known to God. God, we're just as good as you. That's what they were saying. And this place is Babel, which is near Babylon, which is now in now modern day Iraq. And so God saw this, and this is very important. Check this out. Verse 6, the Lord said, If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So God saw the purpose in united people. He said, look at that. They're doing the wrong thing. I have to separate them. And now you and I, maybe we grew up in a different continent or we speak a different language because God had to separate mankind. Because mankind, sometimes we're not so friendly to each other, are we? Are there still wars in the world today? Yes. Do people still try to steal, kill, and destroy from other humans today? Yes. You see, this is what mankind does. We're selfish without God's love. And so we are one people. You see, humans banded together under one language to become like God. God recognized the power of these people uniting. And so He said, but because they're doing it for the wrong purpose, I have to divide them. I have to scatter them. And thank God that many of us grew up, because now, I know this is kind of funny, but we get to try your dialect's food, your language, your country's food. Okay? So that's one of the reasons God did that. I'm just kidding. You're like, what? Okay. And so again, we see that as humans, we do good sometimes, but we also do bad. We are very kind-hearted, but at other times we see people of a different race and a different language, and we are mean to them, or we have a preconceived notion of who they are and what they do. And so God comes together now in the book of Acts. I don't have time to read it. It says on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place praying. And then it says that the Holy Spirit came upon them and like tongues of fire over them. And they all began to speak in a different language. And then I'm going to read part of it. It says this. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they had heard this, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Well, what this means is that God intended mankind to live together. In the Garden of Eden, God wanted them to live in relationship with each other and with Him. But because of our sinful nature, we separated. We do things. And so now God is bringing back the people under Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Because it says the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were speaking in what we would call tongues. And people from different parts of the world could understand what they're doing. So this one baptism in the Holy Spirit gave, again, the church the power to unite under a good purpose. You see, Christians, we've done some bad things over history, but we've also done some great things. Followers of God have done great things when they unite together under love. Come on, amen? Christians are still the most generous people throughout the world. We give and help people throughout the world. Many universities and hospitals, orphanages were started and are still maintained by believers in Jesus Christ. You see, when we get united in the love language of God through the Holy Spirit, we begin to unite in purpose and say, I don't care what language they are, I don't care what country they're from. I know that God is in me, His Spirit is in me, and now I am one with God. We are one people. Does that make sense? So now we are one through this baptism of Jesus through salvation. And then it says, in fact, I got to read this to you. I'm running out of time. Ephesians 2, 19 and 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. Verse 22, and in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit. You see, God never created us to live out by ourselves. He created us to have a relationship. And we have that relationship through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living in us. And so my question for you and I is, will we accept this one love through Jesus Christ? Will we become one people through the love of God? And will we love others as God loves? Because God loves all people. There'll be a day when Jesus comes back and says there'll be no more wars, there'll be no more sicknesses, no more fear, no more mistreating other people. We will be one. Then the third thing is, there's one name. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which mankind must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. Only Jesus can bring us to a relationship with God. You can know about God. You can talk about God. But to know Him and have a relationship, you must have Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. It might sound seclusive. It might sound bad, but that's what Jesus said. You see, once we accept Jesus, we become the people of God. Say, people of God. Okay? And so then here's what it says, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Regardless of your race, regardless of your gender, regardless of your background, regardless of where you were born, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are now part of the family of God. That's awesome. You should be cheering and shouting and all that. In fact, it says this, Galatians 3:26, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus Christ. So now, under Jesus' name, we are one people. Come on. Don't let the world tell you you are from this part of the world, and so you must act like that. You vote this way, or you're from this place. And Jesus says, if you're under me, you are my child. And you are different. You are called. You are set apart. And you're to declare the righteous love of God. Will you put yourself under the name of Jesus? than rather the label of the, and I'm grateful driving here this morning. I was just thinking, I'm grateful that I was born in this nation. I didn't choose it, but I was born here. My mom was born in Korea, and so I'm grateful for that heritage, but I love all nations. I love all people, and I'm not saying one country's better, because if God wants all nations to unite under His name, come on. You saw it this morning with the different prayers and scriptures and songs and different dialects. I love it. I love it. But God loves all people, and He wants us to be united under Jesus Christ. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means we have one call. You knew there was a caveat, right? There's one call. See, Matthew 22, 37 through 39, Jesus replied, this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means loving the country near you, even though they might have done wrong to you, through the love of Jesus. That means loving the neighbor who doesn't like you. That means doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. That means loving people of a different political background, a different color. They speak a different language. They eat a different food than you. They grew up with a different culture. God says that we're to love all people. Come on, amen? Thank you. So our love, our call is to love people so that they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is our call. That is the church. That is why the Assemblies of God sends missionaries in the nation and all across the world. That is why the Assemblies of God is the largest Pentecostal church. We are still the strongest mission-sending group, church in the world. I've ran into people who are from a different denomination. They said, man, if our denomination was as powerful as the Assemblies of God and missions. Remember in Africa I said the two things they know, Coca-Cola, the Assemblies of God. Now there's other churches there, but God loves all nations and He calls us. Every believer has a part in this one call. Well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a missionary, but you're still called. You're called to love your neighbor as yourself. You're to love your coworker. You're to love that rude customer. You're to love that obnoxious pastor that can't stand still. You're to love that person that, again, that speeds past you. You're to love them. That person that took your line in the restaurant or the order. You're to love all people because this is the love of God. Amen? You see, everyone has a part of this call. Ephesians 4:16, from Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every ligament, supporting it, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You see, every one of us have a part in the kingdom of God. Come on, amen? You see, the next thing is this. For many of us have benefited from those who called. I am a byproduct of a church missionary church planner who came to my city, who lived across the street. He moved in across the street from me. He planted a church. That church began to bus me to their church. I didn't accept Jesus Christ as my Savior until 19th September 1978. I was in junior high. They called it junior high then. And I accepted Jesus Christ because this missionary from Texas, this pastor came from Texas and left there and came to a foreign land called Colorado. Okay? Because Colorado and Texas are whole different worlds, right? If you're from Texas, right? Everything's big in Texas. Well, everything's higher and we see better in Colorado. All right? So anyway, okay, just a little joke. If you're from Texas, it's all right. I still love you because my first pastor was from Texas. And see, I'm the benefit of that. And you see, maybe you're here today because a missionary or a Christian from another nation came and spoke to your nation, your land, your people. Maybe it was here. Someone said, you know what? We have one call, and that's to tell people of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul the Apostle, who was once Saul, he persecuted Christians. He was killing them. He was approving them being destroyed. He was a terrorist. And God saves him and sets him free. And so Paul in Acts 16:9 says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So God then takes this message of Jesus Christ from then. He would go through parts of Turkey and maybe even Italy now, and he would go up into Macedonia, and Macedonia began to hear the gospel, and then the gospel began to spread into Europe. And then God sends Philip, and Philip goes and talks to the eunuch from Ethiopia. Then the church and the gospel begins to move into Africa. And then God takes a disciple named Thomas, and Thomas goes into India, right? And he is martyred for his faith. And then missionaries and believers begin to get scattered, and they begin to go all over the world to tell people that Jesus loves all people. You see, they were called. My question for you and I is, will we also answer to this call? You see, every one of us is called. In fact, last year, Javier, you might remember this, some of you remember, last year this researcher from China came here, and he didn't know Jesus Christ. He started attending our church, Hank, we call them. And Hank, Javier asked him, have you received Jesus as your Savior? And he had come for months and months, and he received Jesus Christ before he went back to mainland China. Last word I heard was he was in the region where the coronavirus broke out. And then the last word I heard too was he was okay. Because this is the area. You see, God loves all people. All nations. We need to stop living and thinking that God is all just about blessing us. We are called to be a blessing. There's one love. Come on. One people. One name. And one call. Will you answer that call? It might just be as easy as you just talking to your coworker in the cubicle or in the shop or that classmate. It might mean being nice to your neighbor. It might be nice to the person that's from another land and they speak a different language than you. They have a funny accent. By the way, Americans, we have funny accents too. If you're from another country and you hear them, and by the way, America, the United States of America has different types, right? So, and if you're from England, we have friends from England, and they can listen to someone in England. They can even find out what part of England they're from, even sometimes down to the neighborhood. That's crazy, right? But you see, we're all foreigners without Jesus Christ. We are all immigrants without Jesus Christ. And now we are now pilgrims going to heaven. But it is our call under this one love, under this one name, as one people, we are to take this call of Jesus Christ to everyone around us. This is God's will, that all people come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, because He is the promised Messiah. He is the one that come. Worship team, would you come right now and would you stand with me this morning? The Bible says that Jesus gave His all so that you and I could have life. Jesus gave so that every nation could worship and know Him. Every nation could be, every person, every group, every family, every individual could have freedom through Jesus Christ. I love that song we sang at the beginning. I loved all the songs we sang today. But Jesus came and gave His life so that under His one love that we would become one people under one name, Jesus Christ. So the question I have is you may stand with us this morning. Let's just stand right now. We're going to receive a missionary love offering in a second. But would you just stand right now? And will you receive this one love? His name is Jesus Christ. To be one people, the people of God, under one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Will you live under this name? Because Jesus is life. You must surrender. I must surrender to Him. You see, a lot of times in this world, we can adapt. Say, well, you know, I'll take a little bit of this religion. I'll take a little bit of this religion. Jesus said, no, it's either me or not. It's a holy matrimony. It would be a marriage. It would be like me telling my wife, well, I'm going to live here with you this week. I'm going to live with this other person that week. And I'd live. And there, two things would happen. I would be in the hospital. And then second, I'd come home and all my stuff would be thrown out on the street. Jesus is the only God. You can't worship God in different religions in different ways. There's only one God and there's only one way to worship Him. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And no man comes to the Father except through me. We must accept Him as our Savior. So would you respond this morning? I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes, to bow your heads, just for the privacy of those around you. Would you just do that? Just bow your heads, close your eyes, just for privacy. And you've heard me briefly talk about this Jesus for a few moments. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And He wants to give you this life eternal. He wants to give you this life in your mind, in your thoughts, in your peace. Maybe you've heard about this Jesus many times and you say, you know what? I want to receive this Jesus as my Savior. Maybe this is the first time. Maybe you've never heard about Jesus. Maybe Jesus has made Himself known to you through a dream or a vision. What I want to give you opportunities with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, is that if you would accept Jesus today, so you know, Pastor Stan, I'm ready to come under this one love and be called the child of God. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. I want to confess that I need Him. With your eyes closed, your heads bowed. If this is you, no one looking around, please. If this is